We had, things were hard yesterday a little bit for us. But we'd already made arrangements because Lee, Michael, when after he'd lettered to the Lord, he said, would you like my pastor, or like my dad, who's a pastor, to come in and pray with you? And she goes, would he? I've never known a pastor. She didn't know what it was like or anything like that. So Judy and I drove from the results of her testing to the Commons and had a chance to pray with her, encourage with her, read about heaven to her, and sing her three hymns. And honestly, when I got done, I didn't drive her home early. So everything went well. If she's still going, if we go back towards Auburn, she'd like us to stop in and see her again. She's very fragile, very sweet. She's on morphine for the pain level. So just keep her in your prayers. Okay. No time like the present. Turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. We read that to Lee. She got excited to know that gold does not have any value up there, that you walk on it, and that there's a river of life that flows from the throne of God. And that's what that's speaking about here. Okay, and it says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord God of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come and behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease until the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder, and he burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen? Now, open to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. No time like the present. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I'll jump down to verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of the righteous, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in his eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. That's something Judy and I claim every day. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Glad and rejoice in it. Today is the only day that you know that you had. You don't know if you have tomorrow. Amen? We don't know that. 2 Corinthians, here in that text, it says, our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Verse 2 there. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I don't know if we'll tarry long tonight or not, but we'll see what the Lord is doing. Verse 1, it says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I got saved April 10th, 1977. Okay, you know what I am in today? The day of salvation. because my salvation started them and it was assured in Christ. And a day is with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. And my salvation's not complete yet, and neither is yours. When it's complete, as we told Lee yesterday, and she smiled at that, didn't she, Jude? You're going to have a 33-and-a-half-year-old body that will have no pain, no heartache, no suffering, no sorrow, and you'll be a place of no parting anymore. She was getting excited about that. Not too excited about my singing, but she was excited about that, okay? Because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Turn to, let me see here. I'm going to quote to you, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? Old things are passed away, behold, all things what? Are, present tense, become, imperative going forward, new. We're a work in progress. Every day is new with him. Do you know that you can get right with God every day? If you don't believe you mess up every day, then you're better than me. Okay? Because the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Okay? So you're a new creature in Christ. You know what I say that for is because your past should not control you. You need to let things go. Isn't that why it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness? A lady up in Canada, administering to, she's talking about having pulled away from God. And I got to preach. They had three new visiting families Sunday morning that they'd never seen their pastor before. And I said, oh, Lord, please let them come back. And I ended up, when I'm talking about Judy's and my, we will praise him and pray our divine appointments till then. I got there. I preached. Their service doesn't start until 11. Then they go through their announcements, their prayer request. And so then I preached. I preached about the same here, between 50 minutes and an hour. Judy wasn't with me, so I can say that. Okay. Got done. It was about 25 after 12. I didn't get to leave that place in 2 o'clock. You know why? Because they wanted someone to talk to about something God has laid on their heart, something they needed to give to him, something they needed prayer for, so we can encourage the brethren. And one of those women, she goes, I let this into my life, Pastor Legault, and I don't know. And I, you know, I've asked God to forgive me, and I just continue to feel for that. And I said, don't call God a liar. He said, you confess it, I forgive it. Right? We have to learn that. I want you to see Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. Turn there. Jeremiah, did I mark it or not? Jeremiah 31, 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. See what it says at the end of that verse? For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin. He's thrown it behind his back. He's thrown it in the depths of the sea. He separated you as far as from the east, from the west. One of the biggest struggles that Christians have is because you know what we do? We sin again. Okay? Sometimes with our mind, sometimes with our mouth, sometimes with the actions of our hands and feet, sometimes just with the attitude of our heart. We sin. And he says he'll remember it no more. I want you to know you can learn from your past, but you cannot live in your past. If you do, it'll rob you of what God has for you in the now. Right? And then you can't live in the future because you don't know what it's going to be. And we talk to people all the time, but what if? What if, you know? What if I forgive them and they do it to me again? What if someone gets hurt? What if God asks me something I'm not willing to do? Take no thought for tomorrow, for sufficient for the day is the evil thereof, right? You have to do it God's way. You have to look at that. You know, he's going to forgive us. You understand that? Turn to Psalm 37. And we're going quick. I'm giving you a lot of verses quick. Psalm 37, look at verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he what? He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He upholds him with his hand. Look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. I was looking at a video on YouTube, looking for Christian videos. I look at a lot of things there, different message, different things. I saw David Gibbs on there talking about his mama and how that they were in a church that the pastor said, you really can't be used of God anymore. You're in a wheelchair. You're too weak. You're too frail, and you're too female. Okay, yay. She's not the lead, right? He says, you can pray. And she wanted a ministry. She wanted to reach young people. And they ended up with, this is when David Gibbs was young, and they left that church. They went to another church and started going there. And the pastor said, what can we do for you? He says, I want to start a bus ministry. And he says, if God's called you to do that, you'll start a bus ministry. I can't. I'm not going to help you. But if God's in it, you start it. So she went to the local commercial bus place. And she told them, the guy, the bus manager asked, what do you need? She says, I want you to give me a bus. And she says, lady, we're not in the bus giving away business. I want you to give me a bus. And he says, well, you need to talk to the owner. I can't give away anything anyways. And he sends her to talk to the boss. You know, it's like, boss, waiting to get this one. And he goes, what can I do for you? Okay, Mrs. Gibbs. He says, I want a bus. Well, we sell them. She says, no, I can't afford to buy one. What do you need a bus for? I'm starting a bus ministry. I want to start a bus to pick up kids so they can come hear about Jesus. And he says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you one bus for next Sunday. And we'll see what you can do with one bus. We'll end up giving her two. And in 5 years' time, I can't remember if they were running 25 buses for free or 35 buses. They had over 5,000 kids in a bus ministry for that church. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Don't let your past. She's wheelchair bound. You know, people say, I can't all the time. You know, the only ability that God needs from you, your availability. Because he can provide everything else. But he won't force you against your free will. Amen? I want you to understand there. He says it. He'll forgive your iniquity and he'll remember your sin no more. Okay? Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a just man, what? Seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. You know, and that's not what we think about a little kid being mischievous. You look at the background of that word, the etymology of the word mischief, used in your 1611 King James Bible, and it means harm, hurt, injury, damage, evil. That's what the wicked fall into. It's evil intentions, what happens to other people. But a just man falleth seven times. Now I got to ask you, this is one of the things I saw, and at this reason this message had to come out of that, because everything's new, right? Who falls more? Who falls more? The just man, right? Because when the wicked fall, they stay down. And they're caught in their sin and they stay there. But a just person gets up and makes the next couple of steps. I was talking with Pastor Kenny, and I can't do this, but I was almost going to grab, maybe Mela and Elijah and Uriah, because Uriah's got new sneakers there, and he was talking about, he was in my office. I said, buddy, how fast can you run? And he's running in place faster than I could move, okay? And he's showing me and stuff, because you know what happens? When you start your Christian walk, you're a baby. You start walking, and what do? You take a couple steps, and you fall down. If you don't get up, you never learn to walk. So then that baby gets up, and the next time it moves, it gains a little bit of its balance. It goes three or four steps, and then it falls down again. And then pretty soon, it's got its balance. There's a little equilibrium in its walk. Don't get out of balance, Christian. There's a little bit of equilibrium, and they can walk for quite a while. And then what happens is they get a little overconfident because they're walking and not falling, and they decide they need to run. And then what do? They're something they weren't looking for, and they fall down. You fall down the seven times and get it up again. You're going to keep falling. You know what the point of that is? Keep getting up. Amen. Keep getting up. If you spend time looking at your past, that's part of the reason you fell, you won't learn to run your race in the Christian life. See, because when people run, if they look backwards, they look sideways, they slow down, and they trip. You know that? People who run a race and they run in their lane are told to look at their lane and to run ahead. You know what we're told to do? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the what? The throne of God. We're to look to him. You keep your eyes on the prize. Your circumstances will make you trip up so many times, but we're supposed to get up again. If you don't fall, you're not walking in the Christian life. Do you understand me? Now, sometimes it's a stumble. It's not a big step. Sometimes it's planted right on your face. And sometimes you get to the place, it's so embarrassing you don't want anybody to see you for a while. And sometimes it makes you feel so bad and so embarrassed that you pull out of the race for a while. See, but a righteous man falleth down seven times. I'm working on a message. I told Judy that because it started after I watched that thing. I started looking at seven times, just the two words, seven times in your Bible. That's some amazing things that happen seven times in your Bible. Sometimes it's seven times of judgment. And sometimes it's seven times a blessing. I haven't got the message ready. I was going to preach more study on that. But I want you to know that once you start falling and getting back up, you know what you do? You learn how to keep your balance better. You know what happens when we get older? Pretty soon you get older. You know, I practice a lot. I practice standing on one leg. You know, I'm not an ostrich. Okay. I practice and I try to keep my balance. I practice bending down. I practice doing all this stuff. I practice when I'm walking and it's hard because I don't feel my feet. Either they're burning with nerve pain or I don't feel them. That's why I have to use cruise control in my car, because when I don't feel them, my feet are heavy. 95. So I have to set the speed, the cruise control. Now, Judy, she just always drives that fast. Okay, but you know what happens when you get older? And you get a little bit more nervous, and you get a little more forgetful. Because if you don't use what God's given you, you lose it. You know what happens to people when they get older? All of a sudden, they get a little bit more unsure. They don't walk as much as they should, because motion is lotion, okay? And pretty soon they get a little bit more nervous in their walk, and then they start looking at their feet. And the more you look down, the more likely you are to trip. because your balance is based off a long view. You still with me? And so many times we get caught up in the short view around us that we lose our balance and we can't walk. You know what the neat thing about the Christian life is? When you can't walk, you got a Savior who carries. Young people, don't get to the place where you're saying with your parents, I can't wait till I'm out of this house. Because maybe they're saying, I can't wait till they're out of the house and they have to learn what it is. You know, because young people, they want to grow up. They want to be free. They want to be free. They have too many rules. They want to be free. I was kidding with a girl at the church up in Canada. She'd come up, she'd ask for a prayer request, and she'd go up and she'd ask him something. She'd talk with her mom, and I said, how old are you, honey? She's asking for prayer about a possible surgery she got to have. And I said, she says, I'm 19. And I said, your mom's starting to get smarter than she was when you were 16, isn't she? She goes, yeah. Okay, because you know what? You can't change your past. You have to live in the present, right? Take no thought for tomorrow will take care of the things then, right? Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. I want you to turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. You understand something? You can't ask for forgiveness tomorrow for the stuff today. It's today. And you can't ask forgiveness for the stuff yesterday, because it's no longer what? Yesterday. But you can seek forgiveness when you understand you need forgiveness today. See, because today is the day of salvation. You can give forgiveness today that you didn't give yesterday and you don't even know will be necessary tomorrow if you've given it today. Matthew chapter 6. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? Judy knows when she gets to heaven, she's going to be 6'4". And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these. But seek ye first the what? He's talking about priorities. Not that you don't need clothes, not that you don't need food, not that you don't need shelter, but the thing you need most is what? A right relationship with God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Take therefore no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've done over 200 funerals. 200. You know how many times I'd had people talking to me before that funeral, after, and saying, I wished I could just have told them that I'm sorry. I wished that I just could have told him that I forgive him. I wished that I could have told them one more time that I love them. No time like the present. No time like the present. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, present tense, not that he was. I got saved out of religion that was a was religion, because he's still on the cross. And is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. James 4. I'll try to finish up quickly. The Epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, for today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to what? And doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what that's saying? Do good today. Not because you're earning your salvation, but because you're here to please the one who saved you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For we are laborers together with God, verse 9, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of its quality, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide where he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet even as so by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, for they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas, the world, life or death, things present, things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. You know what? You give your present to God, and you do right in the present, your future will be rewarded. Your future will be rewarded. Gold, silver, precious stones. Do you know Jesus came to deliver you from now? Not just for your salvation in a moment into your past life. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for us, or gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. There's no time like the present. What we do with what God gives us will determine the peace that we have right now. Amen? You're forgiven. And God knows in his love for you that you will stumble. And he just says, let me help you back up, my child, and go on for me. Because what we have to serve him is today. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.